It's heavily wooded, like the southern woods, and people are making a plan. They just, like, you know, they've been killing monsters. Everybody's really gotten into the groove of the whole thing. And so they're making a plan of, like, all right, first boss is unlocked. Let's see if we can find them.
One would think that, you know, eventually these bugs would stop, you know?
Yeah, whatever developer decided on this absolutely sucks. They should just be locked away.
Yeah.
Just because I can feel everything doesn't mean I want to feel everything.
Can anyone see the sky in this place? I can't really see much through the canopy.
I'm blind.
No, we don't really need to see the sky, right?
You know, it's just, it helps. You don't know we're gonna fight in here. It could be a flying monster.
Well, then wouldn't we have the advantage of it not being able to see us through the trees?
Well, I mean, maybe. I don't know how things work in here.
I don't want to get stepped on.
Well, that's true. Well, the sooner we kill this first floor boss, the sooner we get out of this stupid woods. Maybe to a cooler area. Maybe like a undead city or something.
That sounds so cool.
Oh my god, what if we end up in like a library? That'd be so cool.
Oh.
Be less bugs.
Yeah. There's gonna be like things that are pop out of the books and like slap us.
Well, I mean, like, sure, but you could just close the book.
I have a point.
Okay, it's better than this. Okay.
Who's going first? I'm not really, my stats weren't really in a survival.
I'll go first. Walk in there. So we probably want to keep an eye out. Whatever this boss is going to be, there should be kind of like an area that's going to like signify the boss, right?
Oh yeah, kind of like a fog gate. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
All right, well, the first thing we have to do is we have to come up with a...
Ah! Where'd he go?
He's gone. He's gone.
Hey, I know we didn't get along very well, but you can stop hiding. This isn't funny.
I didn't sign up for this.
Ah! Oh, it's the third leg.
I'm leaving.
Good luck. Yeah. I'm gonna start running away.
Yes.
I can't move.
Left, right, left.
Just stay still. If you stay still and small, they won't come for you. Still and small.
Oh my god, I didn't even see it.
Oh, where am I running to? Where am I? Oh wait, wrong way.
Yeah, I don't know. Anywhere.
Yeah, away. We're running away.
whatever way's not here. Oh my god, how big is it?
Okay.
I'm gonna just say a tree root.
I should have not put it all in defense. I'm running so slow.
I really should have, put points in acrobatics or athletics. Why did I decide to be a pure spellcaster?
Just keep running! Save yourself!
Wait, I think I can tank him. And the guy just looks turned around.
Alright, yeah. This is gonna be awesome. All we gotta do is get in there and... Whoa!
Don't go. It's bad. Very bad.
Where's your party?
I don't know. They just got yoinked.
Okay, bye. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Carcosa Online Pathfinder Edition. Here we are. We're ready to see what's going on. We saw some spooky stuff in an alleyway, and 800 people just kicked the bucket. So let's go see what's going on into the lovely town of Carcosa. I will be your GM. My name is Lucas. My pronouns are he, him. Marquise.
Hi, everybody. I'm Marquise, also known as Barty Time Online, your internet ex-boyfriend. Don't worry, I gave you some great French poetry. I am playing Akihiko, the Magus, whose dad is maybe a glitch, and we're both he, him.
Aubrey.
Hello, I'm Aubrey. You can find me everywhere on the internet at Mad Queen Cosplay. And I play Nyssla Stoneheart, who is your local gunstigator. with connections to the outside world. And we both use she, her pronouns.
Cassie.
Hi, everybody. I'm Cassie, awesome Hylian across the internet. I am playing Morrigan, our Talarian bird person. Not the animated kind, the better kind. And we both have a she, her pronouns.
And Shen.
Hello, I'm Shen Yayik, and I guess call me Shen. And I'm playing Loon, a luminous rogue college student.
Where we last left you all, you had a bit of a day in the city. You went and bought a bunch of stuff from the vendors. You met a creepy merchant named the Merchant, who refused to have a new name. And you got your new house. You picked what rooms that you're going to have. You saw like there's some furniture in there already, which is awesome.
Seduced a theater kid.
You
did you forget?
Forgot all about that. You also went and you decided to split up, whereas Ryan or Nissa was going to be heading off to the Church of the Shining God, and the rest of you were off to the fighting pits. On the way, you saw a very creepy, glitched out person who kept leaving a strange sort of garbled message for Derek as they were coming closer and closer and closer until they disappeared. And Aubrey had talked to Smiley, as Smiley is starting up sort of a bit of a relief fund, and people are donating to try to help out other adventurers who aren't necessarily geared up to go down to the first floor of the dungeon and they're afraid of dying, so people are donating money for food and inn and that kind of stuff. I think we'll pick up with the group heading to the fighting pit. So right now you're somewhat kind of regaining your composure. Akihiko, you're standing up and brushing yourself off, and everyone's standing there after that happened.
Yeah, Gordon had crawled back into my large kimono sleeve after kind of a shriek of fear. And Derek is moving extremely robotically. A 1,000-yard stare, as stiff as a board, light as a feather. And just turns, heading directly towards the fighting pits, throwing over his shoulder. Are you all coming? He sounds off.
He'll sort of silently get up and follow.
Trying to look around for enemies.
Make me a perception.
Ben.
You are looking around. Most people seem to really not be paying you much attention. It's like they didn't really see what happened in that alley that you were dealing with. So they're all just like, you know, people are walking past you. Some players are chatting as they're going by, just talking about, so you were passed out too, like this morning? Like, what was that all about? And like, as they're going by, but you don't necessarily see anybody keeping an eye on you. So you all start walking towards the fighting pits, and you're walking past a lot of people. There's some murmuring that's going on of like, oh, is something happening? Is something happened on the first floor? But like, it's just kind of, you know, just sort of a basic conversation going on in the background that you're not entirely sure of. There are like other Carcosian citizens. You do see now the guards are actually patrolling instead of just staying in that inert state. They're wandering around and like, you know, checking on things. You saw that a couple of the guards actually went down the stairs. You heard that they're going to be guarding at like the base of the stairs. So any monsters come up there, they'll just kill them. So it's kind of like a safe area for players. While you are on your way, you're passing by the guild hall, large forest and everything. You see people are going in there. You see like there are a few guilds that are starting to form. You're getting these notifications as these little windows are popping up. You see one pops up and it says the Chili Boys. And that is with a Z. And another one pops up saying the Healing Hand. And like there's other smaller ones that like are popping up. Like it's just like, you know, like the Tough Brigade and all that kind of like just like really like somewhat angsty, probably more teenagery, you know, is that they're giving up. And there is another that does appear and it says the King's Servants.
Akiko, a little too enthusiastically and sweetly. I didn't realize there was a king here in Carcosa.
Yeah, that is odd. I thought the mayor was, like, our guy.
Well, maybe we should ask him if there is some sort of monarchy that we might need to pay homage to later down the line.
Free gold.
Do you see someone shouting that? Like it's a bot that got trapped in the game.
NPC vibes.
There's someone just walking back and forth, just really robotically going,
make free gold by going to www. As they're just sort of like marching back and forth. They look exhausted, just run down.
Some sort of in-game ad capability that didn't get fully scrubbed.
After kind of, I don't know. No, he's not with it enough to try and keep a mental note of the king's servants. It's odd, but there's a fighting pit, and maybe there's violence to be had.
Yes, and money to be made.
And the king to fight.
Or his servants.
That would make you happy.
Could fight the king's butler.
So you march on past the Church of the Shining God, and you're talking about this, and you see the fighting pit isn't too far off. It's a very large building that sort of looms over others, and every so often you can kind of hear the roar of, like, excited people. Because, I mean, there's still a good, there's thousands of people still in this game, so it's understandable to think that at least, like, a couple hundred of them would be at this fighting pit just watching what's going on or probably participating in it. We go to Nisla.
Yes, me.
So, Nisla, you are in the Church of the Shining God, and you and Smiley are looking horrified at the menu.
What do you think did this? This isn't, like, that's a lot. And, like, peek out the door and make sure, like, skeletons haven't overrun the city again.
No skeletons. You are sitting at 10,056 players. So almost 2,000 players have died by day two.
Like, 800 just did. Which is almost as many as did in, like, the first, like, wave.
The first wave, I believe, was just, around 1,100. It wasn't so much all at once. It was more like you open up the menu and the number had dropped by that much by then. So you're not sure when it happened, but it definitely happened within the last couple hours.
Yeah. Oh God, it's... Are you okay?
No.
Yeah, I'm not either. Okay.
We can't keep losing players this fast. We're on the first level.
This is day number two.
What happened? What could have caused that? Okay, retrace our steps. Mm-hmm. We woke up.
Yep.
Then we went back to bed. We heard spooky sounds of we're in a hospital.
Yeah, I heard my partner's boss.
Right.
Talking to me, and I don't know. Did everyone wake up?
Yeah, everybody, as far as I'm aware, everyone's awake now, and Smiley looks at a friends list, and, your friends list, you have a handful of people. Smiley's friend list is long.
Yeah.
And it's just, scrolling through, everyone's online. Okay. So then a guild formed, Silver Shield, and then the guards were restored.
Yeah, I was part of that.
Oh, wow. What was that? Was that a quest?
Yeah, it was a quest from the mayor.
Oh, right. And then there was new creatures unlocked. Plague things?
Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
And the first floor boss was unlocked. How would that many people go fight the first floor boss?
Yeah, at the same time.
If that many people lost...
Yeah, what is the first floor boss? Godzilla?
It might be.
Why are they going to make us fight a kaiju? We're supposed to be level 2.
I don't know. I don't play a lot of these kind of games. I play games that have good vibes, and I was told that this game would have good vibes. And last I checked, it's nothing but bad.
Yeah, this game's got some pretty bad vibes.
I mean, Bernard's nice, but that's about where it ends.
We're not going to learn a lot thing here, so I should probably go and see if I can figure out what's going on, and I can let you know.
Yeah, I'll add you as a friend. And if you have anything, just message me, and I can message other people. I'm friends with a bunch of people who are apparently starting up guilds.
Yeah, that seems to be a thing now.
A whole bunch of them just popped up. There's Chili Boys? I think I know who that was.
Yeah, I think I saw the Chili Boys earlier.
There's a lot of them. They all have the word chili in their name, some variation.
They're committed to the bit.
They're very positive people, though.
That's good, at least.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good luck. And if I figure out anything, I'll also let you know.
Yeah, I'll let you know. Oh, God. Hopefully, I don't know what I'm expecting, and so I'm horrified in advance for whatever I'm going to find out.
I guess the worst. Just anticipate it.
Yeah. Stay safe.
You too.
Goodbye now.
Bye. Dan Dan Noodles and I are on the case.
Yeah, Dan Dan Noodles gets up, does that dog stretch, shakes out a little bit, and then just starts trotting after you. So we go over to the other three as you're leaving the church, and you three make it to this massive building, and then on it it says, like, Carcosa Fighting Pits, PvP welcome. It has, like, these large, imposing doors, and you can hear the sounds, like, a roaring crowd inside. As the doors slowly creak open, you see that there is a very large open room in here, all stonework. There are a few, like, wooden desks that set up where you see, like, people are signing up and see, like, there's leaderboards and, like, you know, you can sign up as a group, you can sign up as an individual. There are also, like, doorways that lead off to, like, the stand so you can go watch what's going on.
Akiko probably would immediately go to wherever he can see the most and get the most information.
Yeah.
Whether that's either, you know, information desk or the actual, like, stands themselves.
It's easy enough to glean. I wouldn't say you really need to roll for that. You do see, like, there is a desk for, like, sign up. There's, like, two of them. There is a bit of a line at each of them. There's a lot of people there. But you do see, like, doors are open. And so you kind of meander over that way and look through as you're... It takes you down this long hallway that leads up a few flights of stairs and goes into these, like, there's a number of different exits that lead into all these seats. And it's that a very classic, like, circular... And, like, all the seats, like, leading down towards. And you see a very large, open, sandy pit. And there are a number of people who are just battling it out. And you're just watching, like, they're whipping spells or hitting each other. You do notice, though, when, like, a person gets hit and their HP goes to 1, then it just stops. And then it goes, like, round over. And a thing like that.
Some sort of spell on the arena or something.
I thought this is where we lost the players.
Oh, that'd be interesting. 800 people just getting massacred in this pit, and they keep going.
Akiko begins looking around. Is there some kind of, like, scoreboard, a champion been declared yet?
I'd say, yeah, there's a scoreboard. There's a lot of names you don't recognize. You do see one name that you saw before, Cakeblade. They've been in here. They're not too high up on the list. But there's a lot of people that are here, and it seems like kind of a place for people to let off steam, too. Like, you do see, like, there's some people going in and they're arguing about something, like, can't believe you took that magic item, kind of thing like that. And as they go in, then it's like, you know, the round starts and they start fighting for it.
Oh, okay, so it's like... And Akiko will say out loud, so it's like bonobos, but with hitting instead of fucking. Begins, like, looking around to see if anyone's nearby who could speak to him.
You see there's a lot of players. There's some NPCs in the area that are watching. Some are working, like trying to sell stuff. There's plenty of players.
Taps, the person who looks the most observant, but the least crazy. If you know what I mean, at a sporting event.
So there is this one troll woman who's sitting there. She's leaning back. She has this leather armor, like a cowl pulled up, bow on her back as she's watching, and it's a very, like, concentrated, like, seeing, like, the different people fighting. You see their name above them is Horde Destroyer, and so she, her, and they're just, like, nodding as they're watching things go on, and you go up and get their attention.
What can I do for you, Akihiko?
Horde Destroyer, don't like the Alliance?
That's an old reference, so I don't know what you're saying.
Anyways, I was wondering if you might be able to tell me a couple of the rules of the fighting pits.
Well, obviously you can't kill anyone. They have separate fighting things going on. You see the red lines faintly glowing. That outlines each of the areas. You can have group battles fighting against other people, or you can go 2v2, 1v1, really up to you. However you want to sign up. You pay at the front desk, go in, fight, and whoever wins is the other person's entry fee.
Okay, so you can win some money. You get any experience out of these battles?
Some, yeah. Not a lot. You're better off fighting monsters or doing quests.
What brought you here?
My friend out there is fighting.
And you see there is this orc person. They have this jet black armor. There's spikes off of it. They have like this helm down, a great axe that they're just swinging, and they hit this one human wizard just like holding up stuff, going like, wait, and they just slam them right in the chest, and they're flying back as like a few of their friends are rushing forward. You see the name above them is Lily of Death. She, they. And that was also a person who was on the leaderboard.
Akihiko kind of makes that like bristling that cats do, just like a slight hiss under his breath, his tail going like a little extra fluffy and straight, his eyes going a little too wide as he turns to Horde Destroyer and just says, thank you for your time. I appreciate your candor.
You're the ones who took out the sub-boss, right?
I was one of them.
Well, we might see you if you want to try go on taking on that first floor boss.
I know very little of what it is capable of. That will be today's assignment.
You should go to the library if you're interested.
Maybe I should. And Akiko like stands up, and Gordon pops up onto his opposite shoulder from the kimono, and both of them just kind of like a fisted to hand and bow to Horde Destroyer.
She gives like a curt nod and just turns back to the fight at hand.
Goes back to the party that is assembled. Well, anyone interested in either bloodying their knuckles or doing a bit of research?
Loon just summons an idle on it. Parkour!
Parkour! Parkour!
And the two of them are just jumping over seats and
turns to Morrigan.
As much as I feel we need to know about the boss, it seems like you're already gonna do that. I am going to get in that line and beat somebody up. So I'll be here and hopefully making sure that Loon doesn't
start the fight.
Get away from himself.
Oh, well, have fun. Try to make friends. Just like turns and walks out of the stands and ultimately the pit, head to the library.
Alrighty. So you two go, you're in the lineup, and it's going pretty quick. They're signing people up, getting things assigned. Some people have to wait still to like go into the fight until the fight's clear out, that kind of thing. But the two of you get up to the desk, and there's this human, they look up. Okay, so, names?
Morrigan.
Morrigan.
Loon.
Loon. Is this a 2v2?
No.
I came here to gamble.
2 1v1s?
Yes.
Are you fighting each other?
Are we?
No.
You can.
I'm not confident enough.
Okay. So I'll sign you both up for single matches. And all right. Okay, so how much money would you like to wager?
We're going to go with 20 gold pieces, please.
Okay, 20 gold. And Loon?
5.
Okay, yeah, there's some people who are just doing the fivers. Okay. Alrighty. We will go ahead and get you situated. If you just want to go wait over there, there'll be somebody to come by and take you into the pit.
Excellent. Morgan's going to be like giddy with excitement at this opportunity to test her skills without almost dying.
Loon's just massaging Loon 2.0. You got this. I believe in you.
That's a piece of fan art right there. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah, that's fair. The three of you are there, like getting ready for your fight. And Nisla, you are exiting the church.
Yep.
You're leaving the church, you're looking around. There are some people you do notice, like in the crowds, there are some panicked faces. You do notice Akihiko is coming down the street towards you.
Wave them over, sort of head their way. Do you see what happens?
I'm sorry?
Check the numbers.
There are approximately 800 other people who died and proved to be incompetent.
Yeah, but that was all at once.
And thus proved even more incompetent in numbers.
Think something to do with the first floor boss?
I was heading to the library to do a bit of research. Nisla, do you care about these people?
I care about people.
Okay, I'll rephrase my question. How deep is that caring? How deep is your love?
That's where my mind went to immediately.
They're people. They're like you, like me. Yeah, sure, maybe they could cut it in a video game. But, you know, this isn't a video game anymore.
No, they couldn't cut it in a survival situation. You're absolutely correct. This is not a video game. If these idiots are incapable of being useful to the cause, they need to make themselves useful in other ways. Learn to make items. Learn to scout ahead and report back with information, rather than simply going ahead and dying like fools. And also, by the way, what we should look for is a coward.
I hate that I have to agree with you on that part.
Someone ran out of that forest and hopefully survived and might be able to give us some amount of insight into what they saw. Is there, like, a way to an all chat to the server?
There isn't one set up. You're actually quite surprised. Usually, like, video games, they have something like that, but there isn't anything set up for this. It just seems like people message, like, you can message groups if you're in a party, or you could, when you're in the city, you just, like, message individuals on your friends list.
Oh!
Sapphire Moon? Maybe?
The streamer.
Smiley. Yeah, I was just with Smiley.
If you could send a message to them, asking them if somebody comes along saying that they saw the first floor boss, send them to the library.
Yeah, and she's also going to let me know, like, any information that she gets. But I will let her know if, like, somebody to send them along to the library, and I will send Smiley that message as well. If somebody comes talking about anything that happened, to get the information, but also to send them along to the library if they feel up to it.
You watch as Gordon pops out of the kimono and, like, climbs up and just begins, like, poking Akihiko in the face. Ask her, are you coming to the library?
Yeah, it's probably the best bet to learn anything about this boss.
Talk when we're there.
On your way to the library, you do get a message, and it's from Smiley saying, okay, sounds great, I'll let you know. And, like, just a dozen emojis. You got, like, smiley faces, you got, like, little sunshine, you got hearts, like, all sent your way.
That person must be in love with you to show so much emotion in a single message.
I think they're just a very nice person.
Annoying. Got you.
I didn't say that. Petting Dan Dan Noodles as we're walking. Like.
Yeah, their tongues lolling out, their tails just going. They're happy to go along, and you all are walking through. You go to, like, the more southern area of the city where the library is located. It is a large, old, somewhat rickety-looking building that has, like, the library over it. In classic fashion, when you open the door, it's a very long creak. And looking in there, the lights are very dimmed. There's little lights, like little lanterns here and there that are spotted throughout, and you just see books upon books upon books, just bookshelves everywhere, tables with books piled on them, just all sorts of stuff in here.
Akiko looks around. Is there another soul within, like, earshot?
Make me a perception.
I think 11, yeah.
So you're looking around. There are the odd, like, you know, there's the odd person in here, but no one's really close to you at all right now.
Akihiko gets, like, conspiratorially close, turns his back to the library to kind of face outside and leans in close as he just says, I've never been to a library. I don't know how this works.
Well, hopefully this works like it does in the real world, and hopefully they just use the Dewey Decimal System, and then if they do, that'll make it very easy for us. If not, we're going to have to improvise.
I will follow your lead. And, like, he takes a step behind you and lets you walk in front, which you probably notice is, like, the first time he's ever done that. He usually is always the person to walk in front of everyone else.
Don't think I know you well enough to start asking questions. It is one of those. I'm going to compartmentalize because we can talk about our feelings later. Let's research now. We can get drunk and talk about our feelings later. Research now. Because that's healthy and a good coping mechanism.
It's the gamer way.
Yes, teach the 18-year-old to become an alcoholic to access his feelings.
Dig deep.
I will head in and look for anybody who might be a librarian.
funny you should say. There is a librarian here.
Okay.
You step in there along with Akihiko and Dan Dan Noodles, and you don't get very far before Dan Dan starts growling a little bit.
Oh, no.
Crawling over one of the bookshelves is this creature. They look like they have a human face, but four just very large, sort of globular red eyes. No pupils. They have four very large, long, double-jointed limbs that they're walking along with. And they have two tiny legs that are sort of dangling from a bloated abdomen. And their head turns towards you and they smile. It's these serrated teeth. Their neck cracks a few times.
Hello. Are you interested in a book? Can I help you? I am the historian.
Just a quick thing. Would you like a new name?
No.
Yeah, we're looking for a book, I say as I'm very much probably not looking directly at them. Just being like, let's look at books.
Akiko's just staring it down.
The description is vaguely spider-like.
A little bit.
Yeah. I will give my character a bit of an arachnophobia, just being like, yeah, let's look at books.
Especially after what you dealt with in that cave.
After the cave, it's just like, yeah, no. Yes, we are looking for a book. You wouldn't happen to have anything on maybe what is in the dungeon?
Well, there are a great many things. We have books on the lizard folk there, the gnolls. I heard you encountered Chimera.
Yep, we did.
Pulls out its mask.
How exquisite. Or are you looking for something a little darker that exists there?
Yeah, no.
Give me the darkest thing you have.
The book might be considered the boss.
Come with me.
Okay.
They go down to the ground floor, and Dan Dan will not get off like high alert mode. They're just like a little shackled up, and
I am also on high alert mode.
I think Akihiko does something extremely uncharacteristic and puts a hand on Dan Dan's head and one on Nisla's shoulder in like the strangest move of comfort. He only knows it because Roger did it to him a lot of times.
So you all start following the historian as they're walking past. There's a few people who are in here that look over the historian and they're like, as they kind of like take a step away and not go near them. They have a smell about them on their breath. It's like, it smells like sulfur. It's very off-putting when you're smelling it as they're moving along. They take you through a number of rows and the library seems far bigger than it should be. As you're going through, and the light is getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer as you're getting to this section, and they begin slowly pulling books off the shelves and setting them down.
We have an assortment of wonderful collections that you can read about the unfortunate creation, but I'll leave that for you. I don't want to spoil anything. Do let me know if you need any more assistance. I'm always watching.
Sure thing.
Thank you, the librarian. Or historian, I'm sorry.
They nod and they start crawling up the wall. And there are a lot of books in front of you, so we will come back to you in a moment as you sit down and just start opening them to see what there is. You two, fighting pit. Good times are about to be had. You look and you're getting assigned like who you're going to be fighting. Pull up my giant list of NPCs. Morrigan, you look and you're seeing like who you're going to be facing against. And it just says Data Hammer is the person you're going to be facing against. And Loon, you look at the one that you're going to be dealing with and their thing is Cloud Owl. So you both are led out into this Colosseum area. You're led to like separate sections. They're beside each other, but you do notice there is this faint glowing wall that is between each of the sections. The other people are fighting, and every so often like a thing pops up like, the winner is, and it, you know, we'll say like a group of people who are fighting or a person who's fighting, that kind of stuff. You walk into the area, Morrigan, as you're stepping onto the sand, and you look across, and there is a creature there, an automata. It is another player who is a machine. They have a somewhat stocky build. One of their hands do end in a hammer. The other one is a three-fingered hand. Their head is like it's kind of like a large lamp that they're looking around with. Kind of think of like a little bit like the Pixar lamp a little bit. And their legs are these tubes that end in these metal blocks. And their arms are also like these tubes that are coming out. And they look over at you. You do see that they are a fighter. They are the same level as you.
Ah, hey, how's it going?
It's good. Happy to be sparring with you today.
Yeah, I come here so that I can feel something.
That's really dark, but I'm happy to help you with that.
It turns out when you get stuck in a machine body, a lot of your senses go. It's torture.
I've heard that. I met one other person who has a machine body in this world, and they also were having a pretty hard time with it. Can you eat? Like, can you sleep?
Kind of. You just kind of like go unconscious, like in a standby mode. Can't eat, though. Can't drink. I don't feel the wind or much of my body, really. It's more like notifications.
So Morrigan is going to kind of start limbering up, kind of cracking her knuckles and like stretching down, touching her feet and everything. As she's doing this, she's just sort of casually going to say, well, I hope I can make you feel something.
You and me both.
You step in to face off against Cloud Owl Loon. You and Loon 1.1, you see that they are an Azmar. They have like these, they have a fair skin, they have little scales that are along their face. You see they do have a tail that's coming out, this somewhat scaled lizard-like tail, and they have these like gold and white robes, this gold hair coming down, and Cloud Owl is also she/they, and you see that they are a druid.
Oh, it's my first one. How about you?
Oh, I think it's... Oh, it is my first one. Yeah.
How come there's two of you?
Nam, nice tail. Oh, this is my twin.
You...
I'm Loon.
Wait, I thought this was 1v1.
It is? No, I thought we were just fighting. For fun.
Okay. Well, I can't imagine they got it wrong. Okay.
But don't worry. I'm just gonna be moral support. He's gonna be the one fighting.
Oh.
His name's 2.2. Loon 2.2.
Loon 2.2.
Or 2.0.
Okay.
You're gonna fight him. I'm just gonna be moral support. A cheerleader, perhaps.
Alright, I mean, that works for me.
Okay.
Alright, so we're just going to go ahead and have both of you roll initiative.
18.
12.
So Loon, you and your Eidolon are summoned. You look over across the way. Cloud Owl is getting ready. They're holding the staff. It's like energy is starting to swirl around them. Some leaves are starting to appear. What is it you would like to do?
The Eidolon, Loon 2.0 something, is gonna go for a strike with a tendon.
Hmm, yep.
And then I'm gonna use Corrosive Touch.
Ooh, okay. So, oh, you got a 23. That is definitely hitting. So you go in for this hit. And your Eidolon, as you described it before, it's like the arm kind of turns somewhat into a spring. The fist just launches forward, just striking them as they just backpedal, take a few steps back as they shake their head. And Corrosive Touch, can you tell me what that does?
It's a conjuration spell that pretty much touches them and then... It's like Acid Splash, but closer range.
It did 3 points of damage. They are looking at you as they kind of get like blasted back, and like first they get hit with this spring that just like strikes them, and then you go and use like this corrosive touch there. So they're looking, they have like two people like one on either side of them as they weren't expecting this, and they are going to go ahead and toss a spell your way as well. They are going to use electric arc. You fire an arc of lightning that leaps from one target to another. You deal 1d4 plus 4 electricity to two creatures. Those creatures must attempt a reflex saving throw. So could you please make me two reflex saving throws, Loon?
17. 20.
All right, you're doing good. So Loon, you're going to take 2 points of damage as like the electricity hits you, but you get out of the way of most of it. Then you do notice that it bounces over to your Eidolon, and because your Eidolon is sharing hit points with you, you take another 4. As this electricity just like goes right through the two of you, and we go over to Morrigan. Morrigan, you are looking at this automata. They are like raising their hammer arm up and getting ready to charge towards you.
For the first round, I'll be doing the key strike. In my key strike, we'll do the flurry of blows. That is the first.
That's a hit.
Okay, so the first hit does 5.
Right. The second one is a miss.
Then we're just gonna go again.
3 for 3.
Yeah. No.
Okay, you are very close to a critical failure there. So you go in for like your first swing, you hit them right in the chest plate as they bounce back a little bit. You go in for like this one kick, and they manage to kind of deflect it out of the way. And you go in for this one punch, and you almost fall in front of them. You just manage to catch yourself as you kind of backpedal a little bit. And they look towards you as they kind of like bring this hammer up, and you watch on like one of their arms, a shield like ejects out of like both parts and starts like forming around as they raise their shield up and increasing their AC, and they're just going to go for 2 swings on you. 16, does that hit you?
It does not.
10.
Also does not.
So they go in for these 2 swings, but you're managing to like duck and weave and get out of the way as they're bringing their shield up, but it is definitely noticeably like harder to hit them when you're going to go on in. We go over to Loon. So Loon, you did damage this druid already, and you're on either side of them.
Ah, that electrocution. I feel weird.
Sorry, but not sorry.
It ain't cheating if one of us is useless. He's fighting, not me.
Gonna go for 2 unarmed fists with the Eidolon.
Nice.
14 and another 25.
The 25 is a hit, the 14 is a miss. 9 damage, nice.
I guess I'll go for another plunge. Oh, 27.
Oh, it's a natural 20. You go in this one swing, they manage to deck out of the way, and they're like, ha ha, and then they just get clocked in the face by your Eidolon, and they pull back their other arm, and then that one turns into a spring, and they uppercut as they go flying back, and they just collapse into the ground. Their hit points go down to 1. And it's just like, winner! And it goes to Loon, and suddenly you gain 5 gold. So now you you get your 5 gold back, and you get another 5.
I'm useful. Whoa.
As like they're stunned, just sort of laying there on the ground, looking up at the sky, as your Eidolon is like mimicking your actions as they're cheering with you.
5-5 Eidolon.
Go over to Morrigan.
This round, we're just gonna go ahead and punch him.
That's fair.
Try and punch him.
This time, that is a critical failure. So you are going forward, you're going in with this swing, and you think to yourself, like, okay, they're raising their shield. All I have to do is like shift this way. And they were expecting that as they're coming up on you. They are going to go ahead and try to hit you in the face with that shield. 16. I don't know. They just can't roll above a 16. So they go and they try to swing, but you manage to get out of the way. As they're in the thing too is their legs are staying stationary. Their waist is just like, you know, gyrating each way as they don't have to worry about destroying their spine. So you have 2 more actions.
Hop into tiger stance real quick. Get our feet underneath us again and go in for another hit, and this will be my last action of the turn.
So you go in for this swing, but you're just having a hard time hitting them as they are just going to...
It's embarrassing. They're not even moving, and I'm, like, missing everything.
They are staying very still. They're going to use double slice. The first one is definitely a hit. You are taking 10 points of damage as this hammer just slams right into you. The shield tries to come in too, but no luck as they are going in with their sword one last time, but they got way too cocky and they just beefed it. What results with this as they fail is that when they do like this swing, their shield is kind of like a little bit down now. Their AC is dropping a bit and it goes to your go.
We're going to do flurry of blows here.
That's a hit. The second one is a miss. And do you have one more action?
Yeah, but I don't want to critically fail, so...
Why not?
I don't really have anything else to do. I think we're done.
Try this again. Wow.
The same.
That is weird. Roll 20. Having a day.
Roll 20. Are you okay?
They're not. They've checked out. So you are taking 9 points of damage as this hammer hits you again. And this time they use their action. They raise their shield up again. So it goes over to you.
Great.
I think they're doing the one who's doing the whittling down. So, and Loon's watching you like on the side. You see like already the druid just laid out.
You got ass.
I'm just imagining this like Morrigan as this medium-sized being, like just throwing herself at this robot and just getting back slapped away by the shield repeatedly. It's not going well. Trying to hit this poor robot who just wants to feel something, and I'm not helping that at all.
You hit them twice, I guess, so.
Maybe they'll feel joy.
Yeah, maybe.
Winning.
Be elated at their win.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's a hit.
My damage is just not there. Okay, but that worked. That was nice. 7! Here we go. We're gonna try that one more time.
And they're like, I'm feeling it.
There's a tingling in my circuits.
Ow. Oh, this one's not good, though. So they are going to take their attack of opportunity on you.
This is really uncool. I haven't gotten this many critical failures in a row ever.
Okay, so it just the hammer swings right over your head as you sort of slip forward and your eyes go wide. A few of your feathers get bristled.
Okay, and we'll go once more.
Not a hit, but it's not a critical failure, at least.
That's the turn.
All right, so they're tried and truing it. They do hit you with one for 10 points of damage. Are you still up?
I have 3 hit points left.
Oh, my God. Okay.
It's just like a third, a third, a third.
It's just like 2 miss swings on this hammer just like clocking you. You're stumbling around. There are all these like just bird feet footprints all over as you're blearily looking at them.
This is fun. I'm feeling it.
You brought them joy.
I brought them joy. If the goal is to feel something, I didn't specify what kind of feeling, so we're meeting our goals here. In a way, we are going to hit them or try to hit them.
That's a miss.
Fun times. We'll try again, and that also misses.
Not critical failure though. You're good. So 2 misses.
I mean, they're probably like, we're just gonna Hail Mary, see what happens.
They are gonna take that attack of opportunity. But it is a miss. So you are swinging and your like blood is dripping down and you're punching metal and it's just not a fun time for anyone as they're going like, I'm feeling it. This is great. They are going in to take down.
Yeah.
So they can't not knock you out. This hammer comes in and just clocks you across the beak as you just slam down on the ground and you see like minus 20 gold like pop up in front of you as your pocket feels a little lighter and they're racing up and like yay
as Loon, you're looking down at Morgan, who's just letting out a heavy sigh.
Guys.
This is going to be a rough moment for her. Really hoping that she was more capable. So, rough loss in that sense, but we're going to try and gather up what little of our dignity we have left to stand up and face the data hammer and ask, do you feel something?
I do. I feel so good. And I'm a little richer, which is even better.
You are a little richer. Consider this a donation.
I wish I could spend this money on things that I would appreciate, but I can't. But this was fun.
This was fun, and Morgan is going to ask, Data Hammer, would you like to be friends?
Yeah, that sounds great. They add you on the friends list.
Greetings there, travelers. It's me, Winger Gimble, famous name Bad, and welcome back to the Inn of the Seven Dice. Oh, dear travelers, such a pleasure to see you again. I just had to recently kick out some patrons from the bar. You know, they get a little rowdy sometimes. It was flesh collectors. You know how they are. Oh, we're here for all epidermal-based payments. Like, I don't want that going on here. It's gross. People are trying to enjoy their meals, their beverages, their poutines. Like, just allow them to just live. Oh, tax collectors are the worst. Never mind flesh collectors. But anyways, travelers, enough of all that. I hope you're doing well. As you can see, our lovely captions are thriving and just absolutely flourishing. I'm sure you're excited, you're ecstatic at seeing them fly across the screen. Oh, it has saved us quite a bit of time, dear travelers, when doing all this editing. Good news, dear travelers, we did actually receive a message from somebody who enjoyed the previous episode. Let's go ahead and bring that up here. Really loved the new episode. Big fan of these captions. Sometimes I have a harder time following along with these APs, but these captions made it a lot easier. Keep up the great work, Ashland. Well, thank you, Ashland. I'm so glad you're enjoying it. It has been lovely seeing this all evolve and people enjoying it. We saw some wonderful comments both on the Twitch and the YouTubes. Thank you so much for everybody who continuously comes out here, shows their support, and is enjoying the show. And if you're listening to this in podcast form, thank you so much for your support in the audio world. As always, we appreciate you. Talk about the cursed radio. Sometimes it disguises itself as Jeff. He's just standing there, no hair, and he keeps talking about the weather near a water cooler. And then when I say, hey, wait a minute, Jeff, didn't you get eaten by a lithid? Then it falls down and it's just a cursed radio. Where did all the skin and flesh go? Where did it go? Oh, God.
Hey gang, I'm Justin.
And I'm Taylor. We're co-hosts of the So You Want to Be a Dungeon Master podcast.
We're two neurodivergent friends who wanted to talk about D&D and tabletop games.
But more specifically, we wanted to focus on being a dungeon master.
We know that for many people, the idea of running the game can feel daunting and even scary.
So we wanted to help remove some of the barriers and fears that prevent people from getting behind the DM screen.
It's our goal to make everyone feel comfortable enough to try being a DM.
We've got episodes on session prep, world building, combat, homebrew, and more.
And we're able to bring all of this to you, gang, because we're lucky enough to be sponsored by Big Milk.
Justin, we are not sponsored by Big Milk. I don't even think Big Milk is even a thing.
Agree to disagree. Anyway, we have new episodes coming out every Wednesday.
Check us out on all the podcast apps. So You Want to Be a Dungeon Master. You can find us on TikTok and Instagram at So You Want to Be a DM.
Or email us your questions, stories, or ideas over at soyouwantobeadm@gmail.com. For instance, you can email us your favorite way to use use milk. Maybe it's as simple as cereal.
Okay, I have to put a stop to this. I have to. Justin, you can't keep inventing fake sponsorships. It's going to get us in trouble one of these days.
In trouble? Taylor, I think you're overreacting. It's not as if Big Milk is going to break down our door.
Justin, is there someone at your door?
Yeah, just give me a second.
Hello?
Are you Justin?
Yeah. Who are you?
We're the dairy detectives sent by Big Milk. You're coming with us.
What? Hey, get off of me! You can't do this!
Okay, well, that was terrifying. So you want to be a dungeon master everywhere you find podcasts. Check us out.
Ahoy, mateys. Keep an eye on the horizon for the biggest adventure to sail the stinky seas. Even Footing Games presents Pathfinder, the newest and dampest addition to the Babies and Broadswords TTRPG series. Gather up your crew of tricksy toddlers and plunder your way down the big stinky river in this beautifully illustrated, cleverly designed, and brilliantly written campaign. Customize your ship and hoist those dirty diapers high for Pathfinder, sailing into port on Kickstarter. Sign up now for early release news and check us out at evenfootinggames.com.
Oh, such a lovely cursed radio ad. For just a moment, it made me remember how that one time Earth's moon was actually an egg, and when it hatched, it was trying to consume the planet. Oh, funny memories, but don't worry, that got reversed. All right, dear travelers, it has been an absolute treat having you here, but I'm sure you're eager to get back to the episode. I bid you all adieu.
We go back to the library with Akihiko and Nisla. You have an assortment of books around you, and when you're opening them up and going through them, a lot of them are those video game-esque books. So 6 pages going through the information and wrapping up, and a lot of it is just lore of the how Carcosa was built up, how Haster was really looking after everyone, and everyone was so grateful. But there was a local that was just angry with Haster, constantly just upset at every proclamation that was made, every rule being brought in. It seemed like no matter what was done, this individual would just get furious about everything, and to the point where they just left. It left Carcosa. It went into the forest. And every time they were sending in hunters, in the beginning people would encounter this person, and they would be angry and yell at them, throw things at them, but it was never a big deal. Until the point where one of the hunters died, didn't come back. They sent others to go look. When they found the hunter's body, parts of it were eaten. And they realized that whatever ate this had human-like teeth. They were taking pieces off of this individual and then leaving the rest of the body to rot. And more and more and more hunters were going missing, until eventually a band of people was formed up and they were sent off into the woods to go deal with this individual. They started finding corpses that were covered in frost and ice, even though it was in the middle of summer. They traveled into the depths of the southern woods and they located this creature, and it had grown to an immense size. This being was fueled by hatred. They were addicted to the taste of a living person. They no longer were hunting after many of the creatures. Instead, they were hunting after people who were coming in. And this need, this obsession, fueled them. They became possessed by these darker spirits as they began hunting after people. The group that went in to go deal with this creature could no longer defeat such a thing. They ran in terror. And they declared that the southern woods were off limits from here on out. And so you see that this creature is known as Wendigo. The one that's described as the first is a towering thing. The sketchings of it are really shakily drawn, shadowy. It just shows sort of like a towering figure just blocked by a lot of trees. You see like hands hanging underneath the tree line that are ending in these giant claws, and these feet that are sticking out of like the tree line as well, and there are people just running in terror. Both of you roll me. I think a cult would be best.
I'm built for this. Oh my god. That is going to be a 24 for me.
Great, because I got an 11.
Akihiko, you're just kind of like looking at the picture, and you're getting annoyed because every so often you can hear like the historian scuttling around, and like some dust comes down and lands on the book, and you have to brush it off again. But meanwhile, Ryan, you are looking through this and poring over these pages. You're trying to find some information. You did see that a lot of the people who went missing when they went out like this, they sent a big search party. A lot of them were picked off from the group one at a time. But the ones that survived were the ones who had torches on them. They had fire. It seems like fire was, at least, at the very least, some kind of deterrent for the creature.
I look over at Akihiko, just being like, do you have fire spells?
I do.
We're going to need those. What says here is that this beast is scared of fire, which is good for us. Because, I mean, even torches or anything like that. And I could see if there's an alchemist, we can get some alchemist fire or something. I have that water gun. Maybe I'll just load it up with alchemist fire. And we'll reenact the thing.
Well, that's okay. Okay, so it says the southern woods of the dungeon, where that's off limits. Fire scares it. No one has ever encountered the creature and lived to talk about it.
Pretty much. It was like, this book, have you ever read Pet Sematary?
I've never.
It was also a movie, but it's, you know, supposedly this thing was like the thing that was bringing dead people back to life, but it seems to be more eating people, so I'm losing where I'm going with this.
It's perfectly fine, you at least found answers.
Mm-hmm.
Can it be poisoned?
I don't know. Can it?
You don't have, like, you're looking through the records, and there isn't a lot of information on people fighting the thing. It's just a lot of, like, what they did to try to escape. And the thing you gleaned, the biggest thing was the fire, and the fact that one of its main tactics is to pick off, like, stragglers who are sort of going away from the group.
I don't see anything about poison, but fire, and if we do this, we have to all stick together in a tight group, because it likes to pick off stragglers.
We could technically use that to our advantage.
I don't want to ask anybody to be bait, but...
I mean, we don't have to ask people to be bait. We just make somebody bait.
Technically, yes. You know, and...
There's a bunch of level one mooks that are not really going to be all that useful. They don't have any particular skills. We just, you know, invite them along on the party.
And hope we don't get them killed.
I mean, if they die, they die.
But they're dying doing something we're asking them to do.
Oh, well.
If we're doing something like that, I would prefer that at least the person is informed so they can at least prepare themselves.
I mean, wouldn't it be much easier to have them die not knowing that death is coming so they at least exist in a pure state of bliss?
For my conscience, yes.
Were you loved as a child?
Yes.
I'm so sorry for this affliction that has become you, but I was raised by a very cold person. And believe me, I've heard many tales of people being the cat's paw of the corporate machine.
That's just, like...
Fine, we can be nice.
We can ask people. We can ask for a volunteer.
Listen, no one's going to volunteer to die. They're all cowards.
What about Loon?
I don't want Loon to die. Loon is stupid, reckless, wholly unprepared for the dangers of this world... But Loon belongs to me. I do not want Loon dead.
Good to know. I mean, I wasn't going to suggest it anyways, but...
Loon would be the easiest person to make bait, I'm just saying.
Yes.
However, at least Loon has proven useful. Either in taking hits or being carted off by skeletons. That might be a weakness we may need to address later on in life.
Just, has anyone had the Stranger Danger conversation with Loon?
I'm sorry, has anyone had any conversation of any amount of moderate intelligence with Loon?
Yeah, I think the jury's still out on that one.
I believe Loon wanted to be a lawyer, and I really don't understand how.
Maybe they just played a lot of Ace Attorney.
I'm going to reserve judgment. Anyways, so fine, we won't do a scapegoat sort of thing. However, we do have to find a way, because it sounds, from like the descriptions that we've seen, it sounds like this thing is fast.
Mm.
Sounds like this thing is capable of hiding in trees. Yeah. We have to bring it down into a place where it cannot leave us.
Yeah.
And not take advantage of the environment.
God, I hate the thought I just had.
Burn the forest down?
Yup!
I mean...
I feel like that should be our last resort. That is but I also don't know if we have enough to... like, we have enough and we don't have enough money or resources to burn a forest down.
Oh, well, I mean, we do have thousands of people who can just line up and set fire to 1 square foot of a forest.
There's a bunch of gender reveal cakes. It'll just light the whole place up.
Yeah, you know, let gender be the end of the Wendigo.
Well, other than that, it's just find a way to keep it from running away.
Burning the forest still sounds like the best idea.
I'm going to keep that. Like, it is an option, but yeah, we definitely need more people on board with that.
Hold on. Why don't we just do this? The historian.
Yes.
Where is the historian?
They are directly above you.
Oh, God.
Books up. Do you happen to have any books about the ecological sphere of the dungeon, whether or not burning a forest might cause irreparable damage either to Carcosa, well, to Carcosa, really. I don't give a shit about the dungeon.
I'll take a look.
Thank you.
They scuttle off. So while you two are there deciding on destroying an entire ecosystem or setting people up as bait, we go over to the other two.
Don't make it sound evil.
Cyril sneers, like, just thumbs up.
It does sound a little evil, though.
To fight the raccoons. You two are over at the fighting pit. And Morgan, you are, yeah, like, once the fight is over, your hit points are restored as you get back, and your body's sore, but you're not dying, which is great. And so it's the first time in your life where you got smacked around by a hammer, and then you just lay down for a minute and you're all right. You're leaving the fighting area. They bring you back into the lobby, and you're there with Loon and Loon 2.0.
Well, that was an experience. How did your fight go, Loon? I was a little preoccupied with mine.
I'm not sure, but punches work. And the guy just got knocked.
Really?
Yeah.
Not have expected that. Good for you. Good for you.
I didn't expect it either. Like, I thought I was gonna lose. That guy looked smart. I thought I was gonna get... yeah. By the way, want some ice? It just melts in my hand, though.
I mean, I'm good. They patched me up.
Oh, it's not ice anymore. You want some water balls?
I'm good. You could just let it go.
Okay. I'm gonna give it to the other guy that I beat up.
Yeah, go over to them. I'm sure they'll appreciate that.
Okay. BRB.
So she's just kind of sitting there on a stool, and they look up at you as you bring you have water in your hand as you walk over at them. They look at you.
Oh, hey, good fight. You're pretty strong.
Want some balls of water?
I don't know you very well. Maybe get to know me better. I don't know.
Oh, it used to be ice, but it melted.
Okay. No, I'm good. I don't need water. Thank you, though. They heal you up, and I had some from a canteen that I bought, so...
Oh. You want to be friends?
Sure. Yeah, I'm actually a part of a guild. Are you interested in joining a guild?
I think I'm in a guild. I just don't know the name.
Oh. Oh, weird. Okay. Well, I'm a part of the Healing Hand.
So you can heal?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of us. A lot of us are healers. We just kind of don't know who to help or what to do, but we want to contribute, so we made a guild so that we have basically healers who are readily available to help out on the front lines. It's kind of like a, I don't know, almost a mercenary thing of just healers, you know? Because people always need healing.
That's true. One time I lost my stomach.
What?
Yes, but I died near a healer.
Oh, you were fighting. What were you fighting?
A lion with a scorpion.
Oh, you fought the chimera.
I think, yeah.
Oh, well, that makes sense why I got my ass kicked. Okay.
Oh, don't worry. I got my ass kicked by the chimera.
Still, you all defeated the sub-boss, and now there's the first boss out there. Are you going to go fight the first boss?
I'm probably gonna be bait and die, but I'd be okay with that.
Oh my god, don't accept being bait. You're strong, just, you know, help out. Your loon 2.0 is pretty strong.
True, 2.3 is doing well.
2.3? They keep getting upgrades? It's a lot of patches.
Just trying to learn more about loon, even if he doesn't talk back to me.
Can you communicate with them? Do they talk? Do they have, like, a voice?
I can understand the feeling. Usually disappointment, but either way, it works well.
Isn't this creature a part of you? So, is that... Are you saying that you're disappointed in yourself?
No, the thing is, that creature is a lost soul. Devotion Phantom. With the same goal as me. But looks at me, weirdly. Because of the dumb shit I do.
Okay. Well, hey, listen. If you do end up going after that, that first floor boss, let us know. My guild would love to help out.
Okay, I'll contact you.
Alrighty.
Add you to my friends list now.
Yeah, you add them, and this is Cloud Owl, like, druid. The two of you, you're all patched up. Loon, you got your winnings. Morgan, you have your losings. You're all set. What would you like to do?
I guess we should probably head over to the library and see if Akihiko and Nisla have found anything on the boss. I imagine we'll probably want to go adventuring for it here pretty soon.
True. I want to show them the 5 gold I won.
Yeah, that's a great idea. As she, like, tucks her wallet further into her cloak. And walking is a great cooldown for winning or losing, so...
That's true.
Let's head over there.
So you two are walking out, and, like, you leave the fighting pit, and you're off traveling in the city. Both of you, go ahead and roll me perception, as now there is more words starting to circle around.
20.
17.
You're starting to walk past the entrance to the dungeon. You see there is a bit of a small crowd there. You see that there is a number of adventurers there, but you notice one of the names is Sapphire Moon. You see there's a name like Cakeblade there, and just like a lot of like other random adventurers. And they're talking like hurriedly and worried as they're exclaiming something to Sapphire Moon there, who's looking really troubled.
You think we should go over there and see what's wrong?
Or do you want to bring the others before we go there? Because what if there's a fight and you're 1 HP?
No, they heal me. I'm good.
Oh, okay. Then let's go.
All right. Guess we'll walk over. Hey, Sapphire, is something happening? What's going on?
Apparently the first floor boss has just been terrorizing people in the southern forest. It is ripping through there. The whole southern forest is a boss zone.
The whole forest?
The entire southern forest. It's just an entire, like, fighting everybody who's in there. You're in the boss fight.
Morgan's gonna kind of think about when she was scouting down there on her first flight and how big that area is. That is like a third of the dungeon. How is that whole place? The arena? Has anybody gone down there?
Yeah, a bunch of people are getting the hell out of there. Really, there's a lot of people there in that forest, and when suddenly it said first boss unlocked, it just became a hunting ground for that thing that's down there. Whatever it is, it's big, it's fast, and it's picking off adventurers.
Oh my gosh.
Oh.
Just randomly spawned?
Yeah. It's just like that. Suddenly people, there's someone said they heard like a roar, and or they knew it, people just started getting picked off.
Well, Loon, I hope you're ready.
Ready to fight?
For when we go down there.
Oh.
If this whole southern forest is a combat zone, then I think we can get a lot of people together and we can try to fight this thing. We're trying to organize, see if there's a few other guilds that want to help out. We fought with you all. You're all really good. If you want to get the rest of your friends, it's going to take some time to organize this, though, so...
Yeah, the rest of our party is at the library researching. But we'll see if they want to, you know, join up with a big raid. Because they're the ones that have all the information right now. So we'll go talk with them. Do you have any sort of timeline that you're thinking about?
We're going to take our time with this one to get everything ready, just so that we're sure. We're going to be heading off, I'd say, 2 hours. And we're going to go down there, scout out the area before we all just charge in, and then come up with the plan.
Okay.
Okay.
I guess we'll continue heading to the library then, and just let Sapphire Moon know that we'll message her with our decision.
I'll also try messaging the Healing Hand people.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Wait, do I send like a message like in text?
You can send, yeah, like a message like that.
Oh, I just pretty much just sent to her, come over, question mark.
It's 3 a.m. You
know, where are you at?
You up?
Yeah, so you said come over, question mark, and we'll see what they end up responding to that as we go over to Nisla and Akihiko. You two.
First you offered your balls, and now you're saying,
right? There's a lot of stuff going on here. That was a heated fight. The two of you, you are brought some books on laws of the area. There are, like, you know, there's a lot of the stuff is very flowery text about, like, you know, that they want to try to preserve the ecosystems and whatnot, but there is no law necessarily around it. But if you're going to light the whole forest on fire, probably going to be a lot of things that are going to, it says, like, you know, it's a very large forest, large area, so probably a lot of things will come charging out of a flaming forest.
Yeah. That is definitely, it is like, in my head, it burn the forest down is the very last thing we try, beyond everything else.
Think of the experience points.
Akiko's literally just like, arson. Well, it's not really arson, because you can't really arson creatures, you can only arson people. But anyways.
I mean, I think it's still a crime in real life. I don't know if it's a crime here.
Hey, listen, if we get a large number of people, we could probably ring a fire this thing. If we just send in massive groups with torches, inevitably the thing will run from them, yeah. Or at least avoid them. If we bring it into a centralized location where we can fight it and just keep all the torch people on the outside, it can't go anywhere.
Yeah, that is a much better idea than burning everything.
Gosh, all the experience points we get for killing all those animals would be amazing.
So many boars.
All the boars. Look, the fucking Houndman is so far up there, and I cannot let him leave me behind.
I mean, I'm sure if you ask nicely.
You shush. You be useful. Shush. Well, okay, we have this information. Let's go find out who wants to go be torchbearers.
Yep, let's go find the rest of our friends.
And you hear from directly behind you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, the historian.
Thank you. Come, Dandan Noodles. We must away.
Akiko is just absolutely refusing to let these things get to him anymore.
Like, I already had my scary moment in the alley. I'm not having any more.
Nope, no more scary. Yeah, so it just... Where do we go? Where are our people?
As you open up the door to the library, you almost run directly into Loon.
I gave someone balls.
Oh, hi.
Oh, lovely.
What?
He tried. They did not take them.
I'm pretty sure that's some sort of harassment.
You can't just, like, ask people if they want your balls.
Wait, do you have balls?
Oh, I may look like a woman, but I'm still a man.
No. You, in this form, do you have genitals?
Oh, then he just opens it to check. Oh, yeah, I do.
Just imagine, like, taking your hand and waving away, like, a bit of flame. It was like, wait.
And then Loon just looks at Loon 2.4. Loon, do you also have a cock?
It keeps going up.
Anyway.
1.1, do you have genitals?
Then the 1.1 just looked... and nods.
Anyway.
Well, this is extremely useful information, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Later. Yes. We've been doing research.
Yes, what have you found out?
I think we have, like, an idea of at least what the boss is. Not, like, 100%, but we're pretty sure. The boss is, you know, whole southern forest. Boss is the Wendigo, and likes picking off people who wander away from the group and hates fire. We have a few ideas.
I'm gonna die.
Just stick with us, Loon. Just don't wander off.
I'll try my best.
Including 2.4. Because if 2.4 gets taken, then you get hurt too.
Yeah.
Looks over at 1.1. 1.1, do you understand me?
And then 1.1 just looks at Loon, and then I look back, and then I'm not sure either, but he feels okay.
Okay. If you would just be so kind as to play chaperone when we go into the southern forest, 1.1, just hold on to Loon's hand and don't let go.
Proceeds to hold the hand firmly.
Start early.
Yeah, I mean, whatever works.
I love the initiative. You would make an excellent desk jockey.
Lawyer.
I'm not sure that word means what you think it means.
Diplomat?
Loon's just a savant at law. Like, just unreal.
Getting people arrested.
Really good prosecutor. Just scared the teachers. It just doesn't make any sense.
Can't argue with that logic.
We do have a bit of an idea of maybe of a way to herd it with torches to a more centralized area where we can create like a ring of torches to hopefully keep it in there so we can fight it, like without it like running away.
Okay. We actually ran into Sapphire Moon on the way here, and it sounds like she and some other folks are putting together a very large raiding party, so that might be a good strategy for those numbers.
How big?
Army.
Well, they're still recruiting, so TBD.
You saw there was at least like 30 people there at the time.
Okay. How about everyone... See if they can invite some people. I'm gonna go away for a second and see if I can't bolster our numbers.
Okay.
Akiko turns and walks to the theater.
Oh no. I can get a bunch of theater kids killed.
They're gonna improv themselves to death.
Just walks right to the theater.
I want to send a message to Smiley. Essentially, like, this is what's going on. If you know anybody who is, like, of appropriate level, and we're not sending, like, just these level one newbies into it, this is where everybody's going to meet to discuss the plan. Because I know Smiley has a lot of friends.
Okay, I'll get the word out. Thanks. And Loon, you get a message back saying, what?
I just sent back, what? Question mark.
What do you mean, come here?
Oh. And then Loon just looks at Loon 2.4. Stop holding my hand. I want to see. And then types back, oh, want to fight something big?
Oh, yeah, sure. Like what?
Okay, people are dying on the forest, and we're planning on dying with them.
Great way to sell it.
So we need healers for it to work.
I'll talk to my guild leader.
With the doubt, the dying part.
So they send a thumbs up. And, yeah, just let you know that they're going to be talking to their guild leader and what they can get sorted.
Loon just goes back to holding 2.4's hand.
I want Loon to end up with this character romantically. Is that weird?
Might happen. It might just accidentally happen. We see Akihiko walk, just like all the confidence in the world, walking past people. And there's a lot of people that are like worried, murmuring. And you find this building that is essentially like a community center. Of course, this is where they would congregate. And you kick open the doors, the light shines behind you, and you see like it's like somewhat dimly lit, and all the theater kids are like cowered, and they look over at you as they were in like the middle of like a rehearsal of like being like little monsters. They all look at you as they like hiss and the light shines up.
Nerds, how would you like to get your very first Tony performance?
That's good. We'll end it there.
Escaping Carcosa is brought to you by the Ballad of the Seven Dice Network. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram by searching Ballad of the Seven Dice. Supporting our Patreon helps us pay for the show, such as hosting, equipment, and additional content for you to enjoy. Our Patreon is Pay What You Want and contains behind-the-scenes footage, audio dramas, one-shots, and more. You can also head over to iTunes and Spotify and leave us a 5-star review. Every review helps us fight against the horrors of the algorithm. Until next time, dear travelers, keep an eye out for that yellow sign.